You know, sometimes in life we like have so much, we have so much focus and we want all the best to come to us, right? Like we want to feel happy. We want to be in love. We want success. We want financial stability. We want our dreams and our goals to come true. And we're so focused on that future that we're frustrated with the present. We're not grateful for certain things, these obstacles. We're like, when is it going to get easy? When is it going to get easy? And we're so focused on that future that those obstacles, they become like, you're like, wow, like this is horrible. And that mindset right there is what makes the difference between fuel, right? Things that will propel us to continue on our path, or things that will hold us and keep us stuck in that place of when is it going to happen, when is it going to happen. You know, our words are very powerful. So when you're like, when is it going to happen, when is it going to happen, you're already doubting that it'll ever happen. So you're putting doubt in the air. You're like, it's never going to happen. And a lot of times I realized that recently, and there's a lot of things that come up, right, when you're healing. And you could be working on one area of your healing. You could be working on childhood trauma, right? And then all of a sudden, you'll be in a relationship, and this and it has nothing to do with what you were dealing with before, at least you thought. And you're like, oh, I'm in a relationship. But this person will trigger parts of you, right, that bring up that childhood trauma that you thought you already healed. You thought you already processed it, dealt with. Okay, I'm done. Let me move on. That's what people think healing is. Like, oh, I've already accepted it. I'm dealing with it. Like, everything is good. It's not, you know, it's not, it hasn't been processed. It's sometimes it takes years. Sometimes you're never fully over it. So, you know, you meet this person and, you know, we'll talk about relationships, right? You're looking for a partner, you know, maybe you've recovered from a lot of unhealthy, limiting mindsets and beliefs that you had. And maybe you were focused on self-love and maybe you weren't appreciated in the past. You went through a lot of heartbreaking situations that you really felt broke you, but in reality, it freed you from a version of yourself that no longer served you, right? And so that's what the silver lining has always taught me. And that's where I'm at mentally now. So it's a beautiful place to be in because you could see things for what they really are. Not everything is meant to be this wonderful, beautiful experience filled with sunshine and flowers and rainbows. Sometimes the hardest situations really do provide this fertile ground for you to really bloom and become the version of yourself that you always wanted to be. Because let's be real, when you're attracted and you're attract these certain situations, these certain people in your life, you know, that you know aren't good for you, that has to do with your self-worth. You ask yourself, or maybe you're in such a desperate, lonely place that once you get this little bit of attention, once you get that little bit of nurturing, you cling to it because you want to feel it is so bad that maybe you'll overlook certain things on the person. Maybe you'll overlook like this isn't right for you just so that you wouldn't be alone. Just so that you could, you know, fill a void. But lo and behold, these situations are the ones that really mold you. And sometimes we don't realize the things that we have to let go of ourselves to elevate to the next level. To be able to focus on those dreams and goals and the things that you want to do, sometimes we even lose track of those things. We don't know what we want. And we grow as people and we got to realize our dreams might change. And that's okay. You might find yourself in a place where you have no dreams or goals right now. And that's okay. Because right now you're being present or you're stuck in the past, stuck in a past pain. You're not able to move forward and find focus on your dreams and goals because you're so stuck in the past that that's where all your focus goes to. You can't look forward if you're looking back. You're looking back. You're not going to, when you're walking and you're looking back, how many times do you bump into something? Because you're not looking. So you're going to hurt yourself. You're going to fall. You're going to trip because you're focused on the past. You're looking behind you. So now, you know, if you're stuck in that place looking in the past, you're not going to move forward. You're going to have to stop and look back and stay there, replaying over and over, focusing on the pain that you felt, asking yourself, why me? Blaming the other person. That was my favorite thing to do. Oh, man. Oh, he's a piece of shit. He ain't shit. Oh, he's a dog. He's this. He's that. Well, honey, I picked him. I picked him. I looked past all his flaws. Why? Because I thought my love was enough. I thought if he saw how good of a woman I was, how good I cooked, cleaned, took care of him, nurtured him, because I'm always that mama figure. You know, I am that nurturing mama figure. I don't know what it is. Men, especially broken men, men with mommy issues, men that had to raise themselves, men that grew up before they needed to, men who have faced abuse, they cling to my nurturing spirit because I give them a love that a mother didn't. I give them a love that a parent didn't. I give them a love that they haven't felt in previous relationships. So they cling to me, but oftentimes they take out those mommy issues on me because they're not able to take it out on their mom. So, you know, we accept these things. We're like, okay, well, if I love them, if I give them, if I'm great in bed, I used to think that. I had so much trauma as a teenager. I used to think if I'm really good in bed, then he's going to really love me. He's not going to want to replace me with anyone. And the reason that happened was my first real boyfriend, you know, I was 15. He was 22. And mind you, this is in the 90s. I'll date myself, yes. And so in the late 90s. Early, maybe it was 2000, 99, 2000. Anyways, I dated him. He was friends of the family. That was the first time that someone really said, I love you, and would buy me things and a promise ring and tell me that he wanted to marry me and move in. I'm 15. You're 22. Do you know what a difference that is? And so I had no experience. I wasn't doing that. Like it was, I didn't enjoy it, you know? And because of my lack of experience and my lack of wanting to do that, you know, he looked elsewhere and in my family and got with my cousin, and she was an older woman, very experienced, very sexual. And she took him away, basically, and I never was able to heal from that. And it was such a big wound that I didn't realize that my hypersexuality following that relationship was because I wanted to prove to myself that I could be that sexual fantasy, that I could fill that void of, you know, oh, if I'm really good in bed, he's not going to leave me because he left me because I wasn't good in bed. You get what I'm saying? And that became a catalyst in my life. And I had no idea that it stemmed from that until years later, like recently in my life, like not too long ago, a few years ago. And, you know, those are the things. We overlook these red flags. We overlook things and we accept this person. And then when they do us wrong, we cry victim. Oh my God, I can't believe he did this to me. We're not responsible for how people treat us, but we're responsible for how we react. We think that, especially for me, that my faith has been renewed and I understand how loving and forgiving God is. And we can't expect people to be the same way. You know what I mean? So if you have a certain capacity for love and forgiveness and you're willing to give so much of yourself, doesn't mean another person will do that. They're not going to think the same way as you. They're not going to process things the same way as you. That's what people forget. And they get so frustrated and fixated at, well, I would do this for someone. I would expect them to do it for me. It doesn't work like that. If you're doing something, expecting something in return, you're not doing it out of the kindness of your heart. You're doing to receive it. You're in a reciprocal type of love situation where if you put certain effort, you want to receive it back. Like, that's what everybody wants, right? But not everybody has the capacity to reciprocate that. So if you're fighting for someone to reciprocate that, they do not have the capacity. You're wasting your time. And usually when they have the capacity is when you walk out of their life and they're scared. And so they'll tell you whatever you want to hear and you'll get back together and they'll show you again that they don't have the capacity. And it becomes a pattern and you keep hoping and hoping and holding on, especially when you have feelings. And it becomes a destructive pattern that makes you feel less and less worth each time. And you ask yourself, why can't they do it? They don't have the capacity. Okay. And that's when you should learn that from the beginning and let them go, because they'll never have the capacity until they're willing to work on themselves. And when they're willing to work on themselves, you will see that effort. You will see that you don't have to keep asking for it to be reciprocated, because they get it. They understand. They start to take steps towards that, towards showing you that, you know what, for this person, I'm willing to grow. And I've done it and I've seen it and it's possible. But if you constantly are asking someone to give you the bare minimum at that, and they're not able to rise to that challenge, then that person is not on the frequency that you need to give you the type of love that you deserve and want, right? So, you know, sometimes you see this person's potential, you see all their good qualities, their good things, the good emotions, maybe the good sex, the good connection, right? Because we all have this soulmate mentality. We've seen The Notebook, we've seen these love stories, and we want that 50-year marriage, right? But we don't realize that the 50-year marriage came with so much shit that they were able to sometimes work through, sometimes not, breakups, everything. We're not able to see that that's really what it comes with. So you have this concept that, you know, there's a perfect person out there, right? That's what they fed us with Disney and movies. A perfect person, you're going to have happily ever after. What I love thinking about movies or books or stories is that they end at the happily ever after. You don't see what happens when the happily ever after starts to fade, because there's such a high, right, that comes with love. There's a high. So, like, you know, you feel this euphoric feeling when you're in the high. You know what I mean? And then just like a wedding usually is like the happiest day for a lot of women's lives. We're going to focus on women because we love weddings for the most part. And a wedding is a celebration of love. You bring your family together, your friends, and you dance and you sing. And like, it's a joyful thing, right? But because it's placed on such a high pedestal of expectation, that day now becomes something that you look back at. That's the day you felt the most beautiful, the most loved. And once that starts to settle and that day starts to fade away, the reality of what marriage really is sometimes kicks in sooner or later. You might have a period, they call it the honeymoon phase for a reason, where it's beautiful. But then, you know, because you're two different people, two different sexes, or the same sex, you have a way of thinking of things the other person doesn't have, or maybe you think of things the same way. Sometimes you're so similar that it causes conflict because you both have the same way of coping with problems. So, you know, nobody gives in, and it's y'all, you know what I mean? Like, it's sometimes being too similar is also a problem, because you don't find a middle ground. Being too different is the same. You know what I mean? You have a way of dealing with your anger. The other person has another way. You don't understand each other, and you're frustrated with the fact that this person doesn't act the way you do, which is unfair, right? Because they're not you. And it's unfair for you to think that the way you handle things is better than the way they do. That's just their reality. That is what they're accustomed to. That is what they've dealt with. That's the cards they were dealt with. That's the maybe the people they dated before you. They haven't let go of those patterns. So all these things combined, you know, we look at these relationships that hurt us as, damn, I regret, that was time lost. You could look at it that way, that, oh my God, like, how, why did I even get involved with this person? Why did I allow myself? Why, right? It didn't happen to you, it happened for you. Because you have a choice now. You could stay bitter, and I see that with a lot of people. You get hurt once, or you get hurt several times, but you blame the people that hurt you. Instead of asking myself, okay, why did I meet this person? Because it's never a coincidence, okay? That's why when you have a connection with someone, it's so intense, because you don't feel that for everyone. You don't feel that for everyone. Sometimes you meet someone who's really good and you just don't like them. They irk you. They feel you don't like, they could hit you up all day and you're like, ugh, like there's, you know, so when you feel a connection, you're like, holy shit. It's like you found your person. That's what you feel like, because you haven't connected with anyone else. So you feel this bond. And so you really put it on such a high pedestal that when the person disappoints you, you're like, oh, that's it. So you go through all these challenges, you know. So for some people, you don't go through the challenges right away. For some people, you start off in this freaking honeymoon. And then all of a sudden, you start seeing parts of this person, because people show you only what you want to see. If you start talking to someone, you notice they're listening, they're asking questions, they're writing this down mentally to see, engage, okay, this is how I'm going to treat this person because this is what they're used to. So be very mindful and very careful how much of your past you tell someone, especially off the gate. If you tell someone you were in an abusive relationship before them, they know that they have to either set the bar high or low, depending on who they are. If they have genuine feelings for you and they really see a potential with you, they will set that bar high. They will show you that, hey, being with me is a better option. If they are about themselves and are really scared or a narcissist or whatever, they will set the bar low to make you feel like you deserve that, or to be like, oh, well, I give you a little bit more than this person, I'm better. No. So, you know, you start telling this person all this stuff in the beginning, what you went through, and now they start looking. You tell them, oh, I did this with this person, if you were promiscuous. All these things are taking note, right? So be very mindful. And then you're trauma bonding. You're talking about your family. These are all things they could use against you in the future, okay? They'll say things. They'll manipulate things. And I'm talking about negative people, not the good ones. And that's the problem nowadays, is that you can't separate who's good for you and who's not. But the thing is, though, you know, a lot of people say, well, this doesn't serve me. It's not always going to be a positive thing that serves you. These people that we feel are toxic, that we feel aren't good for us, that we, you know, we demonize them and make them seem like a bad guy, you could take beautiful lessons out of it. You could see the areas that you still need to work on, whether it's attachment issues or abandonment issues, you know. I felt that for people, and in the past I didn't see it, but now I see it. I've seen that, you know, sometimes we crave love on such a deep level. We crave an intimacy. A lot of people get hurt once and they say, fuck that. I'm not putting myself out there. I'm not going to give of myself. It's too painful, because we're scared. We're scared that we're going to get hurt again. We're scared that we're going to get taken advantage of. And if we start seeing red flags, we're even more scared, because now we're like, what the fuck? Like, why am I still in this pattern? It's because you haven't learned. If you keep meeting the same person in a different body, it's because you haven't learned that lesson yet. You haven't elevated your mindset to think that you deserve more. You settle. You settle for the bare minimum. And you usually, when you settle for the bare minimum, you get less than that. And I'm not talking about financially. I'm not talking about someone that's going to save you. Nobody's going to save you. Nobody's going to love you more than yourself, more than God loves you, more than, you know what I mean? It's nobody is going to come in and heal you. Nobody's going to give you the love that you really are missing. until you focus on yourself and why you feel the need to settle for that type of person. You got to take responsibility. You can't just point the finger your whole life and expect that, you know, miraculously somebody's going to come along to erase all of that. Because if you notice, if you don't let that go, every relationship you're going to compare to the last. If somebody cheats on you and you get in a new relationship, you're going to doubt that that person is faithful to you, even if they haven't done anything to show you that. You're going to already assume like the worst is going to happen, you know? And I've met people like that. They'd be like, oh, I knew that this was too good to be true. It's not too good to be true. What lessons did you learn in the past that you've improved on? Have you forgiven the person that's done you wrong? Because if you carry your previous relationship to your current one, you haven't let go. You haven't forgiven that person. You haven't forgiven yourself for allowing yourself to choose that type of person. Because you chose them. They didn't force you to be with them. You chose them, right? And so, you pay the blame game as long as you can, and you avoid working on these things, and you just go to the next person, and the next person, the next person, and the more sexual connections you have with people, the more confused you are, you take on their energy, you know, and then you feel like you have this crazy connection because you had sex. Sex is a very spiritual thing. And nowadays, it's not treated as such by most people. Some people understand the importance of sex. And it wasn't until I was withholding sex for a while with celibacy that I realized the power of it. And that's when I realized my teenage trauma of trying to overcompensate with sex and be like, I'm the best. I want to be the best so you don't leave me. It wasn't until I realized how unhealthy that mindset was and the fact that, you know, I would always wonder, like, why is it that I feel like I'm in such a funk? Why do I feel so guilty? You know, when you have an empty hookup and yeah, the sex might be great. Usually it's not. It's not the sex that you wanted to have. Because most of the time you really do want to have a connection. You want to have those experiences with people you care about because it's so much more intense. And, you know, you have these meaningless connections, and as good as it was, it never lasts. You know what I mean? It could be a situationship and then you catch feelings. There's always a down, you know, you could be in like a huge whole stage and it's you feel awesome, you feel sexy, but at the end of the night when you go home, you're still thinking about that one person or you're wishing that you had somebody to be there for you and to hold you and to listen to you. Because that's what it comes down to, you know, where most of us are looking. Even though we're hurting, we're looking for that partner that accepts us and loves us and, you know, that's there for us. So though we try to mask it and we try to go from person to person or just to have quote unquote fun, we don't realize that sex is such a powerful thing. It takes our power. You know, when you have sex with someone, your souls are connected. You're inside of each other. You're connected by the one thing that helps you reproduce. Do you understand how powerful that is? When you have sex, you release the things. They go inside. It's really powerful. This is something that was meant to procreate. Just happens to feel really good sometimes. And you're together in that moment. You do the thing that helps you create more life. So what does that do? You're giving away the thing that brings forth life. So sometimes when you give too much of that away, you feel depleted. You feel like you don't have energy. Sometimes you feel depressed. You feel like it's not enough. Why? Because you know that life is more than just those empty connections, those empty experiences. So you want more. You start setting your standards higher. You start saying, no, this is not enough for me. And maybe you try something with someone and it doesn't work out. And you're like, why the fuck did I open myself up again? Why did I become vulnerable? Why did I trust this person? Do you know that those are all great qualities? Do you know it's a beautiful thing to be able to trust someone or to be vulnerable? Do you know the beauty there is with being vulnerable? You know how strong you are to be vulnerable? Because it's easy to not be vulnerable. It's easy and it hurts to isolate yourself and close your heart off. Everyone that I've met that has closed their heart off to love is a very upset person. I have not met very happy people at all that have said, fuck love. They're miserable. And they tell themselves that this is the easier way, but they're miserable. Love is such a beautiful thing to exude. There's a light in people, and you see it when they walk in the room. They're smiling. They feel love. And it's not necessarily that they're in a relationship. It's that they lead their life with love. They're nice to people. They're nice to themselves. They lead with love. And that alone, you know, is a beautiful thing to take out of a relationship, even if it doesn't work. If you were vulnerable, if you shared sides of yourself that you haven't shared with other people, if you give respect and you're true to yourself, if you learn things from that, man, I've learned things in relationships about myself that I never saw before. I learned that I'm giving and loving and that I give without expecting a return, but once it's not returned, I feel like, you know what, fuck this. I'm out. You don't appreciate that. You learn self-worth. You learn who to give your energy to. You learn that you have to forgive your past relationships. You have to forgive yourself for doing things that were not on your level. Maybe it was a little bit beneath you, reacting a certain way. I'm a reactive person, and that's something that I've had to work with. If you trigger me, I can't hold it in sometimes because I like to be transparent about my feelings. I don't like to pretend that things don't bother me because I feel that when you're honest with someone, okay, now they know your boundaries. Now they know the things that set you off. But when you say these things that bother you, you have to realize that not every action requires a reaction. You know, I love the power of silence sometimes. If somebody is, let's say, for example, I dated somebody who loved to spew out these hurtful texts. He would never tell it to my face. You know what I mean? He would avoid it. He'd stay quiet. He'd walk away from me mid-sentence, mid-conversation, leave me talking to myself, close himself off. Then we would part ways. Maybe I'd go home, he'd go to wherever he's going. And the moment that we were apart, he would take that phone out and say the most disrespectful, hurtful things because his ego was so big and he clung to it because it was his protection. Whenever he felt vulnerable, he went to his ego and would say things to try to hurt me because he was hurting. He didn't realize that I saw this. He didn't see it yet. He didn't see that the way that he was reacting, like the psychology of it, he didn't understand. So I'm seeing it from a different perspective. I'm like, go ahead, bro. Say what you gotta say. And I would let him talk and say it. Why? Because there's a power in that. There's a power in not reacting when someone is disrespectful to you, when you understand that everything that people say to you doesn't have to do with you. Okay? It has to do with them because that's their mindset. When you let everything bother you, that has to do with you. That has to do with your emotional maturity. If you're able to handle things and brush things off and be unbothered, because that's my goal. Like, that's my mindset now. Like, because I've learned that just being so reactive to everything takes away from your power, bro. You're giving so much energy to this person that you feel depleted. You ever say, yo, I'm tired of this shit, as far as in a relationship or any situation in life? Yo, I'm tired of this shit. Why? Because you've given so much energy to this one thing and you focus so much in like just giving so much attention and energy to it that you have nothing left, bro. That is what makes me realize how powerful our words are and our energy is. And energy is connected to sex as well. It all is energy. You know, how you feel to start your day, how you react to everything, it affects the type of day you have. So you're acting, I've always been reactive. So this person ignoring me and everything would trigger my abandonment issues. When he would walk away from me, I felt like that little kid when my mom would abandon us and leave us without food. And she had drug issues. She had addiction issues. She passed away because of it. So I already think of, oh, that little girl that was standing outside waiting for her mom to come back from the store and she never came back. So when I see you walk away, that, and so now I looked at that and I said, that's why. It took me a minute to put it together. I was like, oh, that's why I freak out. And then I would beg for this person to stay in my life because I didn't want to be left alone anymore. Because being left alone by the person you love makes you feel really bad. And it triggers that pain that you felt as a kid. And you feel, so I would cry and I would beg and I would plead for this person to stay in my life, to show me respect, to love me. But they'd always disappoint me because they didn't have the loving capacity that I felt I needed. But what a lot of us do, trying to fill that void that our parents didn't love us, parents love and a relationship love is two different things. And we try to combine the both because we say, well, love is love. No, it's not. A parent gives you life. A parent's love and a child's love is always more than any relationship love. Why? Because we think that it's unconditional. We think that, you know, this person gave us life. They owe us so much more. Absolutely. You didn't ask to be born. You didn't ask to be born in the family that you were, but you are. So you got to deal with it accordingly. You have to set boundaries. You have to do things. So there's similarities between all types of love. However, the people that you meet, that you date, their responsibility is not to fill that void. That's your responsibility. Your responsibility is to work on that, those missing pieces that your parents gave you, didn't give you or gave you, and learn to process them and heal from them and forgive them. Because the older I've gotten, now that I'm a parent, I have two teenagers, bro, and I can't believe that. Because time flies, and it's true. I sound like my dad. He used to say things that I say now. And, you know, I learned through being a parent. I was able to see things from a different perspective. Whereas before, I was a victim. Like, yo, you're a piece of shit parent. Get your shit together. And it wasn't until I became a parent. It wasn't until I went through certain similar experiences. You know, because this is generational trauma. We're at an age where people realize what generational trauma was or is that they didn't realize before. People didn't realize that they were a piece of shit parent because their parent was even worse or the same. And they repeat that until somebody in the lineage decides to break that. And I chose to be that person in my lineage, or I'm choosing to be that person. I'm trying to be that person that breaks that generational trauma. But a lot of times people don't see that. And, you know, you blame your parents for things that you don't realize what they had to deal with. You don't know how it was for them as a child. You don't know how it is for them as an adult. And I didn't realize until I was a parent that, yo, you're still fucking growing. You're still dealing with mad shit at 30-something, at 20-something, at 40-something, your whole fucking life. You're dealing with work. You're dealing with relationships. You're dealing with your own trauma. And now you have this kid that's depending on you. But if you're not in a good mindset and you're going through mad shit and you don't know how to handle it, you know, you're going to fuck up. You're not always going to be the best version of you. And I started to see that. And I was able to forgive my mom for all her shortcomings, or not all, but some, it's still a work in progress. But I finally understood that she did the best that she could with what she knew. So forgiving that, or thinking that I forgave it, even though I was in this new situation, relationship, where this person was abandoning me, I was able to see, oh shit, yeah, that has to do with that. This person's not responsible for that. I'm not going to put that burden on them, that expectation that they're not going to disappoint me like my parents did, because that's not even, it's not the same. They're not even the same person. They're not, what? They don't have the same responsibility. And once we grow and we're an adult, our parents just don't owe us shit, because their job was to nurture and guide us through our childhood. But as an adult, you have your own choices and decisions to make that they have no control of. When you're a child and you're living with them, then that's, they either choose to be responsible for you or not. Either way, that's not your fault. They chose to be that way. So now once you grow up, it's your choice what type of life you want to live, what type of road you're going to go down, and what type of people you choose to have in your life. That's not their fault. That's your choice. So all these things being said, I saw so many triggers, and this person brought out so much like negative things out of me that I realized, damn, I'm not healed as much as I thought I was. I still got a long way to go. And I was able to see every lesson. And that was the first time in my life that I was able to really be like, oh shit, he's showing me abandonment issues. Oh shit, he's showing me that I'm too reactive to everything he does. I'm giving away too much power to things that don't matter. When you're focused on your life, and you're focused on your healing and your dreams and your goals, if you really have learned your lessons from the past, if you've really forgiven people who have done you wrong in the past, you don't have room in your heart to still be reactive and super emotionally connected to people. Being unbothered is very, very crucial. Because you, when you're unbothered, you know, you let the person know that they're not going to bring you to the place that they are. Because they say hurt people, right? So if they're hurting, they're going to project that because they want you to feel a little bit of the pain that they do. And if you're reactive, you're feeding into that because now, oh, I got a reaction out of her. She's feeling what I am. Great. When you break up with someone and you're hurting and you tell them that they're hurting, or you reach out to them when they've done some disrespectful shit, that's telling them, oh, so I could do this and she's still going to take me back? No respect. Or think that they could do anything or say anything and you're going to take them back and you're going to accept that? No. That's your self-worth. You're asking yourself, what are you going to put up with? They're going to know. They're going to treat you accordingly. So it's very, words are super important. Words are powerful. There's sometimes there's things that you say that you can never take back and that you regret it. At a certain point, you realize, damn, I shouldn't have said that. Why? Because you were reactive. You didn't take the time to say, to process things, to allow yourself to calm down. If you're in an emotional place, you're not thinking. Your head and your heart are two different things. You ever see those, you know, TikToks or whatever, where they have the little emoji of the brain and then the heart, and they're saying two different things? That's why if you take yourself out of the emotional place, you think about it, you're able to think more clearly, and sometimes you're able to reflect and see what parts you had to play in this situation and if you chose the right things. So your words are so powerful when you say things. This person that I dated would say the most hurtful things to me. Like, if I wasn't in an unbothered space, eventually I became unbothered. In the beginning, I was reactive and I would say some fucked up shit back and it would be table tennis and we'd go back and forth until we blocked each other. And then after we blocked or cut our, you know, stopped talking to each other, we give it a little bit of time, maybe a couple hours, you know, sometimes it was a couple days. And then when we talked again, it was in a loving place. Why? Because we let that anger subside, you know? But if you don't heal from that, if you just move on and say, okay, well, we're done with that, and you don't process what's been said or done, it's going to happen again because you haven't healed from that. So it stays with you. So when you get triggered again, you have the same reaction because you haven't learned from that. You might say, yeah, I forgive you if somebody cheats on you, but you never forget it. So when you see them very funny on their phone, if they're hiding it, if you don't have their password, if they're very secretive, you're going to already assume that they're doing it again. And that's going to trigger you. Even if they're not doing anything, you're going to assume it because it's been done. You haven't even healed or processed it. So you're still feeling the same emotions. And you're still connected to that feeling. So this person would say hurtful things. And at first I would be reactive. But then I learned the power of not reacting. Because I would let him make his bed. He would say these really hurtful things. And then afterwards, apologize. And say, I would never say this again. But because I forgave those hurtful words, I did know that this person was hurting, that I had the maturity to sit back and say, this is not about you, Maria. This is about the other person. This is about what they've dealt with, the way that they've handled things in the past, but they haven't learned to deal with it in a better way. So you see their level of growth based on their reaction. I took a couple steps back when I was reactive and I would storm out instead of talking because I felt that my words didn't matter. Let me tell you something, guys. If a woman tells you how she feels and your reaction is to get mad, she will constantly be frustrated because you're not hearing what she's saying. You might be listening, but you're not hearing. You're not taking her feelings into consideration and realizing that she's telling you these things because she wants to work on it. She wants you to reach a place where you understand each other, because when you understand each other, you move accordingly. There's compromise that comes in relationships because you care about someone. It shouldn't be compromising who you are, your values and your morals. But sometimes you do have to grow and change because you're still stuck in an old pattern. And if you don't want that pattern to continue, you have to change. You can't keep doing the same thing. Say, nah, this is who I am. No, you're supposed to grow. You're supposed to change because we're not perfect. And because we've gone through so much shit in life and life is fucking crazy, there's things that we have to adjust so that we could continue on and move on to a healthier place. We can't stay stuck in the sewage that we've been in our whole lives and expect things to change and you to meet people that are better. It doesn't work that way. So when someone tells you how they feel and you disregard that, you show them their worth in your life. You show them that, and that makes somebody feel like they're not worthy. Like, damn, I'm telling this person how they feel and they're getting so mad and they walk away. And they tell you, it's not what you say, it's how you say it. Yeah, that's partially true. That's something you have to learn. That if you come to someone and you tell them how you feel, but you're accusatory or you come off condescending or mean, they're going to react the same way because the energy you put out, you receive. But sometimes they're not emotionally available enough or mature enough to handle what you say without getting offended and thinking that it's all about them. It's not about them, it's about you. Men, it's not about you. It's not attacking you. It's letting you know, damn, this really hurts me. Are you going to do things that don't hurt me? Are you going to respect my feelings? And so this person didn't respect my feelings at all. They would say the most hurtful things and keep doing it because I would forgive it. And I allowed it for long enough. But I let this person tell me these things and I forgave it. And eventually it reached a point where I was unbothered and they said things that they couldn't take back and that I couldn't allow. And remember when I said, be careful how much of your past and how much of your trauma you share with people off the gate? These are things that they should learn over time. And some things they don't even have to learn. But sometimes you have to say the things you went through so they understand a little bit more of why you are the way you are now. Because these things mold you, right? So if somebody knows you've been through sexual abuse, they and now you're not as sexual as maybe they are, or, you know, you're not in a healthy place with sex, then maybe you shouldn't be in a relationship until you've healed and worked and processed and forgiven. And it's hard. Not everybody's the same way. But, you know, this person hears this and either they could choose to respect you or they could choose to disregard that information and still blame you for the fact that you're not as sexual as they would want you to be. So I disclosed even losing my mother to this person. And this person decided to use that information to then throw it in my face and be like, oh, your mom must be proud. All because I offended him. I offended him and his ego. You know, I gave a lot to this person. I gave my time, my love, my body. I shared things from my soul that I haven't shared with other people. He didn't trust it. He didn't believe it. Why? Because he had trust issues that he didn't process. I didn't do anything to gain his distrust. That was his problem. That's what he had to deal with. Whereas for me, he gave me reasons to not trust him. I'm trying to trust you, and you over here with disrespectful shit on your phone, the pics that I found that were inappropriate, the sex tapes that I found, and I forgave that. Can you believe it? Why? Because it was his past, and I was trying not to use it against him. But yet I would say like the smallest thing, or I would do the smallest thing, and he couldn't forgive me for that. I, you know, and then it continued. So now I see this. Now you messed with my trust. So now I'm starting not to trust you. I was trying to give you the benefit of the doubt, and you lost that. So instead of me choosing at the moment that I started not trusting to walk away, I stayed. And what happened? He did it again. I went through his phone, invasion of privacy. Once you do that, you already know what you're going to find. Because women, our intuition is on point. When you feel something, men don't understand that. Your woman is not bugging. Yeah, sometimes it is. Because remember I said past traumas. We start to project what other people did. But if they're not giving us a reason to, we're just making shit up in our head for now. That there's a difference between intuition and fear. When you have fear, you mistaken the both. They're interlapped because if they don't give you a reason not to trust them, then you're using fear because of your past. But if they're acting funny and you feel it, that's intuition. So I have intuition. I'm feeling this person is changing his way of talking to me, of dealing with me. It's not as patient and loving as before. So I'm like, oh, this person's reaching their peak. They're reaching their limit with me. Mind you, I don't feel like I did so much. In my head, I'm like, why is this person acting this way? Like, we could have a disagreement without it meaning that we're going to break up. We could think differently without it being red flags. Red flags are only red flags if you can't work through it and grow together. Okay? So now I'm like, okay, I'm suspecting of you because you're acting funny. You're always on your phone. You're always on Instagram, like obsessively on your phone. You have female friends that you used to be intimate with that are still in your life. You have a female best friend that you were also intimate with that happens to be your roommate. That it was so much that I dealt with that I shouldn't have dealt with. But I continued. So if he continues to disrespect me, it's because I've allowed it. I'm not the victim here. There's no right or wrong. I chose this. So when I found something else, when I found the DMs, when I found the flirting, why was I surprised? And of course, the reaction at first is like, oh my God, I'm sorry. I promise I'm not cheating. I promise I'm not doing anything. How could I trust that? You're showing me otherwise. When you start dating someone, you have to have already let go of the past, if you're still holding on to pictures, if you're still holding on to videos, if you're still holding on to people that were connected to you sexually or emotionally, if you're still friends with them, you're still stuck in the past. I'm not saying you have to be enemies with your past. No, I'm not saying that. But they shouldn't have the same access to you once you're in a relationship. Because if you respect the person, you have to let go of disrespectful things that might hurt them, that you, that you wouldn't want to be done to you. So once I seen all of this, of course it's sorry at first, but then it's defensive. Then it's, oh my God, like, it wasn't a big deal. Like, you keep holding on to that. You keep bringing it up. Partially, they're right. Because if you haven't forgiven them and you don't trust them, then you shouldn't be with them. Because trust is something and communication is something. If I can't communicate my feelings to you, if I can't tell you how I feel without you reacting in a way that is disrespectful and dismissive of my feelings, then why are we together? Like, sex is not enough. And like I said, sex drains you of your energy. So now you're weak and you're accepting all this disrespectful shit that you're closing the door of being with someone who actually gives you the things you're looking for. All because you feel a quote-unquote connection with them. That doesn't mean that connection is serving you for your greater good. That doesn't mean it's a connection that's really helping you. But it's, if you look at something, if y'all end, of course it's going to hurt. Of course you're going to miss the good. Because you don't notice that when you break up, all you think about is the good. When you're in a negative, weak place, that's all you think about. But when you're in an empowered place, when you start realizing your worth, that's why they say a lot of self-love is important. Because when you self-love, you forgive yourself, you accept yourself, you love yourself. So you realize that you really don't need people to do that for you. You may want someone, you may want a partner, but most partners, most people are looking for partners that help them grow, that you could grow together, that you could heal together, but each person is responsible for healing. Each person is responsible for loving themselves, so they don't expect the other person to do that for them. So when this relationship ended, I was able to sit back and be like, oh wow, I was responsible for a lot of this. I allowed a lot of this. And now, the crossing lines, once he mentioned my mom in a text, once he said, I know your mom is proud, all because I hurt his ego, and I told him the truth about how I was feeling. I wasn't feeling appreciated. I felt like I was being taken advantage of. I wanted some appreciation. We want appreciation, bro. We love validation, and that's our ego as well, and we got to work on that. We don't need someone to validate us, but we do like for someone to show us that they appreciate us. We do want, when we talk, someone to be like, you know what? You're right. If they do us wrong, you know what? I'm going to work hard to show you that I really want this to work. I'm going to work hard, and I'm not going to just do it for a week or 2 weeks or a month. I'm going to do this as long as I feel that we're meant to be together. And if I really want something long term, I'm going to realize that we both have to work on this. But I'm going to put in my part because I want to show you how much you mean to me. That is love. And you're going to fight and you might break up and there's going to be moments that you felt disrespected. But if there's a change, if there's a switch, if you show each other that you really, that this person really means something to you, then that's when you know that person is worth it or not. And if they're not, you learn to let them go. Even if it's painful. And I don't know if you notice, I don't know what your religious belief is, it doesn't matter. When someone is ripped out of your life in a dramatic way, let's say you have a horrible fight, or, you know, just so many signs that this person is not right for you and you ignore it, there comes a point when God, the universe, whatever you want to believe in, is they're removed, kind of ejected in such a dramatic way that you have no choice but to move on. and you're forced into isolation so you could deal with the things that you've been avoiding. And either you choose to deal with them or you close them off, that's on you. But closing off those emotions and not dealing with them, eventually they will resurface. And eventually you carrying that baggage for so long will get so heavy that when someone comes along that either doesn't deserve it or is really good for you, you're going to dump it on them because you haven't processed it. And now this person has to deal with the baggage that you didn't heal. That's why it's really dangerous to be a serial dater and just go from person to person expecting you're going to find the right person when you haven't done any work on yourself. When you're thinking that it's all the people that you're choosing, when it's only because you haven't chosen to do better for yourself. Not for other people, for yourself. When you're trying to change for someone, it's never enough. You don't feel the same way when you do it for yourself. So I'm saying all of this to say that sometimes it's perception, it's how you see something that could change your life, that could change the choices you make, the people that you choose to deal with. If you change your mindset, if you look at something as, wow, this was an opportunity for me to learn, let me learn these things, let me take time to heal before I move on to the next person, it makes a big difference. And you start to see the quality of people that you start to attract, friends, lovers, is so much higher when you do that. And it's so much closer to, it resonates in your heart. It feels like, wow, this is what I was looking for. This is closer to who I am. And sometimes we're like, we say, oh, I'm not this person. Like, why? I'm a good person. Why do I attract these bad people? It's because you don't think you're worth good people yet. You didn't process those things that would allow you to attract better people. You're not surrounding yourself around better people. So, you know, be kind to yourself. Give yourself time to heal. Awareness is key, but action is necessary. You could be aware of things and be like, oh shit, I did this. But if you don't do anything to change that, it's useless. So, you know, I haven't recorded a podcast in a minute. And, you know, I am not even using my mic because I felt this message heavy today. And I wanted to share this with anybody who's feeling right now defeated, anyone who's feeling like they made a mistake, that it was all in vain, that, oh man, like I regret it. Don't regret it. Learn from it. Look inward. Stop looking outwards for things and people. You know, people chase money because they're like, oh, if I'm financially stable, I'll be happy. Yeah, if you're debt-free, of course, there's less stress in your life. But there's areas that won't be fixed with money. Sometimes you can't even attract more money and you wonder why you're always struggling, living paycheck to paycheck, not getting ahead, why your dreams aren't coming true, why certain things are you're not succeeding at it. It's because your mindset is not in a place where you could receive those things yet. Sometimes you haven't processed things that you need to process in order to receive those. So just be mindful of where you are mentally and what you really believe you deserve. So I know this world is stressful as shit right now. We're going through a lot of shit in this world, in this life. The older we get, the more we see, you know, the more we feel like, damn, is this even worth it? But I'm here to tell you it is worth it. There's so many lessons. There's so much that we learn. And I'd rather feel alive than just live. So remember that love comes with pain, and pain comes with growth. I love you guys. Thank you for supporting and loving me. Thank you for asking me to record again. If you have any questions, if you have any concerns, I'm at the Maria Complex on Instagram and Facebook. MariaComplex.com is my blog. Leave messages on my pages. Let me know. Let me know how you feel. What did you take out of this message? And yeah, so I'll see you next time. God bless. Thanks for tuning in.